Fatima and Tui, where sin abounded, grace did more abound. A conference given by Father Michael Rodriguez at the 2019 Army of Advocates Conference in Houston, Texas, hosted by the Fatima Center.
I'll begin this morning with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, beloved daughter of the Eternal Father. Hail Mary, admirable mother of the Son. Hail Mary, faithful spouse of the Holy Ghost. O Mary, Virgin most powerful and Mother of Mercy, Queen of Heaven and Refuge of Sinners, in accordance with thy ardent wish made known at Fatima, we consecrate ourselves to thine Immaculate Heart. We consecrate to thee our very being and our whole life, all that we have, all that we love, all that we are. To thee we give our bodies, our hearts, and our souls. To thee we give our homes, our families, and our country. We desire that all that is in us and around us may belong to thee and may share in the benefits of thy motherly benediction. O most holy Mary, grant that we may have no other spirit but thine, to know Jesus and his divine will. That we may have no other soul but thine, to praise and glorify the Lord. That we may have no other heart but thine, to love God with a love as pure and ardent as thine. O most blessed Virgin, hasten the consecration of Russia to thine Immaculate Heart and spread true devotion to thine Immaculate Heart to all souls throughout the world. Reign over us that we may be thine in prosperity and in adversity, in joy and in sorrow, in health and in sickness, in life and in death. Reign over us, most holy Mother of God, and help us make the Sacred Heart of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, reign and triumph in us, even as it has reigned and triumphed in thee. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. Amen. The Most Holy Mother of God revealed the central message of Fatima to the three shepherd children, Lucia dos Santos and Francisco and Jacinta Marto, on Friday, July 13th, 1917, at Cova da Iria, a field about 2 miles west of the village of Fatima, Portugal. There is no question that on that day she spoke the most remarkable words of grace and mercy that she has ever spoken in our times. What did she say? In addition to sublime and divine secrets, the Blessed Virgin Mary stated the following, quote, "You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved, and there will be peace. I shall come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. If my requests are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the church." Close quote. Almost exactly 12 years later, our Blessed Mother fulfilled the promise she made on July the 13th, 1917, by coming to ask explicitly for the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart. This magnificent revelation took place on a Thursday night, June the 13th, 1929, in Tui, Spain. Now, before examining God's marvelous revelation at Tui, please keep in mind the five preliminary points. Number one, as Mr. Kevin Dye has already mentioned, this year, the year of our Lord 2019, is the 90th anniversary of the 1929 vision of Tui. Point number two. The vision of Tui is not only the culmination of the Fatima apparitions, but also a summary of the entire message of Fatima. Frère Michel de la Sainte Trinité, perhaps the greatest Fatima expert, writes, quote, "The revelation of Tui crowns the cycle of the apparitions of Fatima by a spectacular theophany for which no comparable example can be found in the entire history of the Church since the apparition which knocked Saul to the ground on the road to Damascus to make him the apostle of the nations." Close quote. Now, Frère Michel uses the term spectacular theophany. The word theophany means manifestation of God. So at Tui, we have a spectacular manifestation of God. We have the truth about God being made manifest. Point number three. As hopefully all of you know by now, the theme of this Houston conference is On Borrowed Time, Surviving the Crisis in the Church. How are we going to survive and overcome today's terrible crisis in the Church? The answers to not only surviving the crisis, but thriving in the midst of this horrific crisis, that is, how to make use of the crisis to grow in holiness, are given to us by God at Fatima and Tui. We don't have to come up with our own answers. Lord knows we're very insufficient to do that. The answers which the vision of Tui gives us are God, the Most Holy and Blessed Trinity, His grace and mercy, the cross, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Grace and Mother of Mercy, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, specifically the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Point number four, by examining more closely this morning the marvelous vision of Tui, my hope is that you grow in your appreciation of the incredible grace and mercy that God has bestowed on us through the Fatima apparitions. That you be more motivated to study and reflect further on the Fatima message, and that you live the Fatima message and encourage others to do so as well. Hopefully my talk will inspire you to do those things so that these days are truly just a beginning. My hope is also that as a result of this talk and your days here, that you will place greater value on the profound grace that we have been given at Fatima and in its crown, which is the vision of Tui. And this is the reason, some of you may have noticed, why I chose Romans chapter 5, verse 20 as part of the title of my talk. Quote, "Where sin abounded, grace did more abound." Close quote. Because there's no question that the present crisis in the Catholic Church is catastrophic. But believe that God's grace has abounded all the more in our times. Many times this may be hard to believe. It is true. Where sin abounded, grace did more abound. And just think about this for a moment. What other period in church history has been offered the grace and mercy which are being offered to us through Our Lady of Fatima? But it's that so often we don't sufficiently appreciate the magnitude of this grace and mercy. I hope that my talk helps you to appreciate this. And number five, last preliminary point. Since a lot of times we forget, I just finished saying in number four that I hope my talk motivates you to study and reflect further on the Fatima message, and that you live the Fatima message and encourage others to do so as well. So point number five is, make these resolutions. A lot of times we leave a conference or a retreat and we leave without specific resolutions. Don't do that. Make specific resolutions and ask God and our Blessed Mother to help you to carry them out faithfully. And so basically my point number five is reminding you of point number four so that you will make those resolutions. Make a resolution to study and reflect further on the Fatima message and the vision of TUI. Take the literature with you. Give the Fatima Center a call. Make the resolution to live the Fatima message more faithfully than you have in the past. Whether it's the daily rosary or wearing your brown scapular or offering the sacrifice of your daily duties in reparation for your own sins, the sins of others, for the conversion of the church, for the conversion of the hierarchy, for the conversion of Pope Francis. I guarantee that if you put your heart and soul into these specific resolutions, you will not only survive the present crisis, but you will thrive. You will grow in holiness. Because God's grace is effective. And because our Blessed Mother truly is all-powerful by God's grace, omnipotent by grace, as the saints say. Okay, on now to the vision of TUI. This took place on June the 13th, 1929. Remember that the six Fatima apparitions took place in 1917. 9 years later, Sister Lucia left the convent in Pontevedra, Spain, on June the 16th, 1926, to enter the novitiate of the Dorothean Sisters established at TUI. TUI is a town in northwestern Spain, just south of Pontevedra, located on the Spanish-Portuguese border. Sister Lucia took the habit on October the 2nd, 1926, and pronounced her first vows 2 years later on October the 3rd, 1928. That's her first vows, October the 3rd, 1928. So about a half year later, the apparition at TUI. Hopefully many of you are familiar with the picture of the vision of TUI. Let us now listen to how Sister Lucia described what occurred on the night of June the 13th, 1929. I had requested and obtained permission from my superiors and confessor to make the holy hour from 11 p.m. until midnight, from Thursday to Friday. Being alone one night, I knelt down before the communion rail in the middle of the chapel to recite the prayers of the angel lying prostrate. Feeling tired, I got up and knelt and continued to recite them with my arms in the form of a cross. The only light came from the sanctuary lamp. Suddenly,
A supernatural light illumined the whole chapel, and on the altar appeared a cross of light which reached to the ceiling. In a brighter light, on the upper part of the cross could be seen the face of a man and his body to the waist. On his chest was an equally luminous dove, and nailed to the cross, the body of another man. A little below the waist of Christ on the cross, suspended in the air was to be seen a chalice and a large host, unto which fell some drops of blood from the face of the crucified and from a wound in his breast. These drops ran down over the host and fell into the chalice. Under the right arm of the cross was Our Lady with her Immaculate Heart in her hand. She appeared as Our Lady of Fatima with her Immaculate Heart in her left hand, without a sword or roses, but with a crown of thorns and flames. Under the left arm of the cross, some big letters, as it were of crystal clear water, running down over the altar, formed these words, Grace and Mercy. I understood that it was the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity that was shown to me, and I received lights about this mystery, which I am not permitted to reveal. Then Our Lady said to me, the moment has come when God asks the Holy Father to make, in union with all the bishops of the world, the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart, promising to save it by this means. So numerous are the souls which the justice of God condemns for sins committed against me, that I come to ask for reparation. Sacrifice yourself for this intention and pray. I gave an account of this to my confessor, who ordered me to write what our Lord willed to be done. That's the end of the description given by Sister Lucia of this spectacular theophany at Tuy. Now, what is this vision of Tuy about? I'll begin by just giving a very brief overview. The vision of Tuy reveals the truth about God and how God wills to communicate His grace and mercy. This is of extreme importance. There's really nothing you can possibly think of that is more important, both for your personal life and for the world, both now, in the past, and in the future, than this. The truth about God and how He wills to communicate His grace and mercy. Still kind of in a nutshell, what then does the vision of Tuy reveal to us about God and the way He wills to communicate His grace and mercy? We can pretty much say three things. First, we have the ineffable mystery of the Blessed Trinity and the fact that grace and mercy flow from the infinite goodness of God. Two, the vision of Tuy tells us that there are three great means willed by God to communicate His grace and mercy. The redeeming cross of Christ, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it's very significant because the vision of Tuy also teaches us that the Blessed Virgin Mary, that she is one with her divine Son. There are many who think you can separate Mary from Jesus, and they think that maybe Mary takes away something from Jesus, or that you can believe in Jesus and not have a great love and veneration for our Blessed Mother, completely contrary to what's taking place and what's being revealed. Great truths that are being revealed in the vision of Tuy. This is why Mary is truly the Mother of Grace and the Mother of Mercy. Because her son is the author of grace and the author of mercy. And she and her son are in a very profound, mystical way, one. And then third, the vision of Tui reveals a specific way for our times that God wills to communicate His mercy through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, and that is the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart. And also for each one of us to do the best that we can to consecrate ourselves to her Immaculate Heart. Alright, well now let's begin to unpack this. The vision of Tui is a magnificent vision of light. There's a supernatural light which illumines the whole chapel. There is a cross of light on the altar that reaches to the ceiling. And there's an even brighter light in which appears the face of God the Father. In terms of a vision of light, such was also the case in Saul's vision on the road to Damascus, as well as the apparitions of the Fatima angel in 1916 and Our Lady of Fatima herself in 1917. Recall the words of sacred scripture, first letter of John chapter 1 verse 5, quote, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness, close quote. Where there is light, there is God. The fact that there's so much light is telling us here is made present, here is made manifest the truth about God. And please pay very close attention to this, because the greatest scourge on our times and really on the history of mankind is when man rejects the truth about God. Either outright rejects God, or chooses to invent his own ideas about God and believe in God the way he wills. These are fatal, fatal errors and really the gravest of sins. The rejection of God. Now, we're talking here about all the light in the vision of Tui. Compare this, that is, light and God revealing the truth about himself. Compare this with the first apparition of Our Lady of Fatima, which took place on Sunday, May the 13th, 1917. We see the same thing. This is why the vision of Tui is the culmination of the Fatima event, the crown, and why it's also a summary of the entire Fatima message. Because at the very end of that first apparition of Our Blessed Mother, this is what happens. Our Lady said to the shepherd children, do you want to offer yourselves to God to endure all the sufferings that He may choose to send you? As an act of reparation for the sins by which He is offended, and as a supplication for the conversion of sinners? Promptly Lucia responded for all three, yes, we want to. Then you are going to suffer a great deal, the lady promised. But the grace of God will be your comfort. Everyone, please remember these words of Our Blessed Mother. They're true. And they're for you and for me also right now in 2019, when we're talking about how to survive in this terrible crisis. Remember what Our Blessed Mother says. Then you are going to suffer a great deal. For those who really want to respond, that's what's going on. She's asking the children, do you want to offer yourselves to God and endure all the sufferings that He may send you to make reparation? And Lucia, yes, we want to. Then you are going to suffer a great deal. Don't get discouraged if you start to suffer. One of the ways that you're going to survive this crisis is get ready to suffer. And don't complain to God. Thank Him. Because there are great graces there Our Blessed Mother says, then you are going to suffer a great deal, but the grace of God will be your comfort. The grace of God never fails. And where sin has abounded, grace has abounded all the more. Even if you cannot kind of sense or touch or experience tangibly that grace of God in the midst of when you're suffering, it's there. You have to grow in your faith. Now on to the last part there, the very end of that first apparition. As she pronounced these words, the lady opened her hands and shed upon the children a highly intense light. This light penetrated us to the heart, Lucia reported. This light penetrated us to the heart. That's what you and I need to survive the crisis and to thrive. We need the light of God. We need the truth of God. We need to be close to God. We need to be united to God. This light penetrated us to the heart, Lucia reported, and allowed us to see ourselves in God, who was that light, more clearly than we see ourselves in a mirror. Then we were moved by an inward impulse, also communicated to us, to fall on our knees while we repeated to ourselves, O most holy Trinity, I adore thee. My God, I love thee in the most blessed sacrament. It couldn't be clearer. An intense, intense light there at the end of the first apparition of our Blessed Mother at Fatima. A supernatural, brilliant light in the vision of Tui. And what is in common? That here is being revealed the truth about God. And two very specific things are mentioned in that prayer of the children that they make when they fall on their knees and begin to pray. That is also central to the vision of Tui. And that is the Most Holy Trinity and the Most Blessed Sacrament. Please, everybody, open your hearts. Listen with faith. There can be no such thing as the truth about God apart from the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity and the Most Blessed Sacrament. We have to understand and believe this. Because even the fact that there's not peace in the world, but all of the evil and all of the problems is because man is turning away from the truth about God. And we have even so many Catholics, Catholic prelates, that with their lips, they're saying the words God. But they set aside the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, the Most Blessed Sacrament. How can that be? Now listen very carefully so you get a better sense of what's going on. We have a terrible crisis in the Catholic Church today. Why? Where did it begin? I'm going to just read to you real quickly a few quotes from Pope St. Pius X, a great pope. He wrote the following in his inaugural encyclical letter, E Supremi, on the restoration of all things in Christ, dated October 4th, 1903. October the 4th, 1903. Pay attention to the date. More than 100 years ago, and pretty close to the time when Our Lady appeared at Fatima, just 14 years before. 1903, Our Lady appeared at Fatima. 1917, pretty much more or less the same time period. And this is what our Holy Father wrote, quote, "We were terrified beyond all else by the disastrous state of human society today. For who can fail to see that society is at the present time more than in any past age, suffering from a terrible and deep-rooted malady, which developing every day and eating into its inmost being is dragging it to its destruction." You understand, venerable brethren, what this disease is? Apostasy from God. Close quote. A hideous, destructive disease that he saw in his time in 1903 developing every day, growing. He also writes in that encyclical quote, "We find extinguished among the majority of men all respect for the eternal God, and no regard paid in the manifestations of public and private life to his supreme will. Nay, every effort and every artifice is used to destroy utterly the memory and the knowledge of God." Close quote. To destroy the truth about God. And the Pope calls this a great perversity. You better believe it's a great perversity. And I'll tell you, easily this great perversity, apostasy from God, of which Pope St. Pius X is writing in 1903, easily it's 10 times worse today in 2019. Easily. He's talking about apostasy from God, the rejection of God, darkness. Darkness, the opposite of light. And we could, he doesn't use these words, but I'm using this terminology, and the falsification of God. That's what's going on everywhere today. People talk to you about God. They say, oh, we believe in God. It's no longer the truth about God. What about the Blessed Trinity? What about the Most Blessed Sacrament? You turn away from God, you reject God, you falsify God, and you better believe that sin is going to abound. The sin is going to breed sin. The heresy is going to breed more heresies. Now, just so you see the gravity of what we're facing, so you see it today, I'm going to quote to you from a document that was referenced, I believe, by Father Albert on Friday evening. Now, I don't have too much time to explain all of this. Those of you that aren't as familiar with the crisis in the church, please don't get scandalized. Look, we're Catholic. We love the church. We love the Pope. We love the papacy. But there is such a thing as evil popes. That's verified by the history of the church. Right now, we are living in a time with a very, very evil pope. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't love the church. It doesn't mean that we don't want to be obedient to the church hierarchy. I mean, there's a lot to explain here. I don't have enough time right now, but just please keep this in mind. Now, I'm going to quote to you from this document. It's a document that was drawn up on the occasion of Pope Francis's apostolic journey to the United Arab Emirates at the beginning of February 2019, titled, "A Document on Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together." Both Francis and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar signed this document on February the 4th, 2019. I'm just going to read to you two quotes from that document. Horrific. "The name of God is used in a completely false way. And this is the point that we've come to, where the visible head of the Catholic Church here on earth has deviated so far from the truth about God." I encourage you to glance at this document. It's scary. It's a completely Masonic document. Talking about world peace and living together. Not a single word, not a single reference to Jesus Christ. Even less to the Most Blessed Sacrament. How's there going to be peace in the world? How are we going to live together without God? Without the truth about God? So here's a quote from that document. Quote, "In the name of God and of everything stated thus far, Al-Azhar al-Sharif and the Muslims of the East and West, together with the Catholic Church and the Catholics of the East and West, declare the adoption of a culture of dialogue as the path, and mutual cooperation as a code of conduct, reciprocal understanding as the method and standard." Close quote. Now, look at the complete opposition of what you just heard with the true God and Catholicism. I'll pair them up to you. Francis and Al-Azhar declare that the path is a culture of dialogue. Catholicism teaches that the path is Jesus Christ. John 14:6, quote, Jesus saith to them, I am the way and the truth and the life, close quote. Francis and Al-Azhar declare that the code of conduct is mutual cooperation. Catholicism teaches that the code of conduct are the Ten Commandments and the example of Jesus Christ and the Virgin Mary. Francis and Al-Azhar declare that the method and standard is reciprocal understanding. Catholicism teaches that the method and standard is the Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the teachings of Holy Mother Church. And the other quote, and again notice how the name of God is being used in this. I mean, this is complete and utter blasphemy. Scandalous. I mentioned to you, quoting from Pope St. Pius X, how he talks about this is a great perversity. Well, this quote that I'm going to read to you is the greatest perversity. And here's the quote, signed on February the 4th, 2019. Quote, the pluralism and the diversity of religions are willed by God in His wisdom, through which He created human beings, close quote. That God in His wisdom wills there to be all kinds of different religions. That's the work of the devil and of man. And here in this document, they're attributing that to God's wisdom? This is complete and utter blasphemy. Does anybody believe in Jesus Christ? He suffered and died on the cross to found the one true church. One true church, one religion. One true religion. Father Isaac's talk yesterday. Completely different what you read in that document to what you see in Fatima and in the vision of Tui. But, in spite of the fact that sin has so abounded, grace has abounded all the more. Again, Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did more abound. And in the midst of all this, we have been given the brightest light at Fatima and Tui. We've been given the truth about God, centered on the Most Holy Trinity and the Most Blessed Sacrament. We need to respond. Remember the prayer that is prayed at the end of the first apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. I just quoted it. But also the prayer of the Angel of Fatima. Really, the prayers of the Angel of Fatima. There are two prayers of the Angel of Fatima. Because these three prayers, what they are is, they're a recognition of the truth about God, and they're also a response to this truth. These prayers could very well have been prayed at the vision of Tui. Just listen to these prayers, because just think in your mind, these prayers, these are the prayers that are the true Catholic response to the truth about God. And they would be perfect prayers to be praying there in front of the vision of Tui. O Most Holy Trinity, I adore Thee. My God, I love Thee in the Most Blessed Sacrament. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. I ask pardon of Thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I adore Thee profoundly. I offer Thee the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world. Remember these prayers, because one of the things that you should do in order to survive and overcome the crisis is pray these prayers. Pray these prayers. Go before the cross. Go before the Blessed Sacrament. And pray these prayers with faith. Take some time to look and to reflect on the vision of Tui and pray those prayers. This may seem like something small, but do it. At the root of all the evil, apostasy from God, falsification of who God is, The vision of Tui is, in the words of Frère Michel, a spectacular Trinitarian theophany. So it's a spectacular manifestation of God, but it's Trinitarian because that's where God is revealing who He is. And we have the Father, the Holy Ghost, and the Son. I say it like that in that order. Usually we say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, only because in the vision you've got the Father, and then there you have the Holy Ghost, and then the Son on the cross. The vision of Tui, we have then the Blessed Trinity, and then, extremely important, the two words, grace and mercy. This is what is flowing constantly, we might say, from the infinite goodness of God, from the ineffable mystery of the Blessed Trinity, grace and mercy. Maybe some of you remember, I remember them because I was also thinking a little bit about my talk, but the very final words of Father Albert's talk on Friday evening, the very last thing he said was this, and he said this because he was saying, look, we've got this tremendous crisis in the church, it's being manifested here with false teachings about Catholic teaching on marriage and the family, you know, all the problems with Amoris Laetitia, etc., etc. And then at the end, you know, he said, you know, very difficult crisis, but he said, quote, we need very special grace from God, which will come to us through Our Lady. That's exactly what we need. Grace and mercy from God. And that's central in the vision of Tui. Grace and mercy. Frère Michel says the following, or writes the following, quote, this is the first mystery revealed to us by this water gushing from the throne of God. The mystery of the gift of grace and mercy by the entire Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which decides, effects, and completes our salvation through the redeeming cross of Christ, close quote. And then he also writes, quote, in the vision of Tui, the Father appears as the initial fountain of grace and mercy, close quote. Very practically, in order to survive and overcome the present terrible crisis, pray for God's grace and mercy and grow in your devotion to Our Lady. Because this special grace from God is going to come to us through Our Lady. This is also very much contained in the vision of Tui. We'll get to it here in just a few moments. But again, remember this. Pray. When you pray the rosary, when you receive Holy Communion, make a special intention to pray for God's grace and for His mercy, and that you may grow in your devotion to Our Blessed Mother. And obviously, to grow in your devotion to Our Blessed Mother, you have to take specific steps. I strongly recommend read books on Our Blessed Mother. Read more about the Message of Fatima, Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori. There's a really good book that's called, it's a beautiful book, The Life of Mary as Seen by the Mystics. It's published by Tan. The author is Raphael Brown. Don't forget also the works of St. Louis de Montfort, True Devotion to Mary, The Secret of the Rosary, The Secret of Mary. Specific resolutions. If grace is going to come to us through Our Lady, how's it going to come to you? Where's your devotion to Our Blessed Mother? A quick word here, because we're saying grace and mercy. So much could be said about grace and mercy, but I'm going to fly through this. I'm just going to say one word about mercy, and it's this. Because here, again, the falsification of God. Please don't be impressed just because someone's talking about the mercy of God and saying that God is merciful. If you ever see someone or hear someone talking or promoting the mercy of God and not working hard at conversion and really working hard to promote sound doctrine and the truth, you've got major problems, and I'm telling you, the devil is there. It doesn't matter how holy someone looks. It doesn't even matter if one is dressed in white. Hint, hint. I'm going to quote to you from one of the greatest doctors of the Catholic Church, St. Alphonsus Liguori. And you know what he's writing about. I'm just quoting a little bit to you, but he's writing about the abuse of God's mercy. Don't think that just because God is merciful, you can't abuse that and you can't falsify that. You better believe you can. And you better believe that that's one of the number one things that the devil's trying to do. Get all these people going around talking about the mercy of God. Oh, in the name of God, we believe in God. And then sinning left and right. St. Alphonsus Liguori, quote, "There are two ways by which the devil endeavors to deceive men to the eternal ruin. After they have committed sin, he tempts them to despair on account of the severity of divine justice. But before they have sinned, he encourages them to do so by the hope of obtaining the divine mercy." And then St. Alphonsus quotes Luke, and he's quoting the words of our Blessed Mother, Luke 1:50. This is from her Magnificat. "His mercy is to those that fear him. His mercy is to those that fear him." Yes, this is St. Alphonsus. "Yes, the Lord deals mercifully with him that fears to offend him, but not so with the man who presumes upon his mercy to offend him still more." Close quote. Then St. Alphonsus, he prays a little prayer, and just listen to this little prayer. Because this is the prayer that someone's going to be praying who truly understands and believes the truth about God's mercy. Remember the little prayer. Here it comes. "No, my Jesus, no, I will no more offend thee, neither in great nor in small things. Thou hast done too much to oblige me to love thee. I desire rather to die than to give thee the least offense. Thou hast deserved all my love, and I desire to love thee with all my strength. Give me thy assistance." Close quote. Those words, "give me thy assistance, give me thy help, give me thy grace. Because thou art merciful, help me so that I can live a holy life. Give me the strength, you will give it to me. You are good, you are merciful." Again, as I said, there's a lot to say about the grace and mercy of God, but, you know, we'll jump to the final parts here of the talk. In the vision of Tui, what's also very clear are the three great means willed by God to communicate his grace. The first two, I combine them because really they're one and the same. And this again is sound doctrine. Here's why we have such a terrible crisis also in the church, because of everything that's happened with regard to changes in the Mass. Right now is not the time to go into that because there's so much that could be said. But again, if you want to survive the crisis and overcome it, please, everybody, especially those that aren't familiar with the traditional Latin Mass, please get to the traditional Latin Mass, even if you have to drive more, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. This isn't primarily about the language of Latin. This isn't primarily about personal preferences. I like this Mass, I like that Mass. We're talking about something extremely serious. We're talking about the truth about God. The most blessed Trinity, the most blessed sacrament. This has to be central in the Mass. And it is in the traditional Latin Mass, it isn't in the new Mass. Most of you probably don't realize this, but two of the greatest prayers of the traditional Latin Mass that are profoundly Trinitarian. One at the end of the offertory, that's called the Suscipe Sancta Trinitas, and one at the very end of Mass called the Placiat Tibi Sancta Trinitas. Marvelous prayers, Catholic prayers. Deleted, thrown out the window. I could give you a lot of examples also how the incredible reverence and faith and love that is there in the traditional Latin Mass for God in the Blessed Sacrament, and also thrown out the window. But again, let me just zip through here because I could easily speak for hours and hours and hours on this. But the three means that are willed by God to communicate his grace. The first two then, they're really one and the same because those two great means are the redeeming sacrifice of Christ on the cross, Calvary. That's why the cross is central there, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross in the vision of Tui. And the Holy Mass. Pay really close attention now, so you get some little gems from the vision of Tui. Look, in the third apparition of the angel of Fatima, this took place in the autumn of 1916, the angel was holding a chalice in his left hand with the host suspended above it. And from the host, drops of blood fell into the chalice. And then the children received Holy Communion. Lucia, the body of Christ, Francisco and Jacinta from the precious blood. You see this repeated again in Tui. The chalice and the host, the blood. Again, Tui, the culmination of the entire message of Fatima, a summary of the Fatima message. But there is something very significant that is added in the vision in Tui. At Tui, the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, no longer flows only from the host, his Eucharistic body. It gushes forth from the wound in his sacred heart and the wounds in his outraged countenance. Why is this so significant? Because the vision of Tui is showing us very clearly, again, the truth about God, light, that the blood in the chalice is the blood from his sacred wounds on the cross. At Holy Mass, obviously the chalice and the host is Holy Mass. There was no chalice and host on Calvary. At Holy Mass and on the cross, it is the same precious and redeeming blood. The same sacrifice, the same victim. This is Catholic dogma. This is sound doctrine about how the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the perpetuation of the one sacrifice on Calvary. And these are two, I mean, they're also one, but I say two great means of grace and mercy that God has willed to communicate his grace to us. Not only that, but notice in the vision of Tui where our Blessed Mother appears. Just as Mary stood at the foot of the cross on Calvary, so she is beneath the cross of her Son in the vision of Tui, under the right arm of the cross. Our Blessed Mother is there. She's there at the Holy Eucharist. She's there at the sacrifice of her Son on Calvary. Same sacrifice, same precious blood. Holy sacrifice of the Mass, the cross on Calvary. I don't have time to explain it right now, but this is something that there are many, many details in the actual Catholic Mass, I'm talking about the traditional Latin Mass, where this truth is being affirmed. This truth about God is being affirmed no longer in the Novus Ordo. And this is why I'm trying to tell you, look, this whole question about the Mass, it's not something peripheral, and it's not, well, you know, I prefer this and I prefer that. I know there's still many questions. Someone will ask, well, Father, how can it be then that the Pope and pretty much all the bishops in the world and, you know, the majority of the priests are then offering the new Mass? How could the Catholic Church have approved the new Mass? You know, the Catholic Church doesn't err. There are answers to this, okay? Can't explain it all right now. But that's why I mentioned to you in this talk about the whole basis of our Catholic doctrine and our Catholic worship that is based on the Trinity, on our Lord's real presence in the Holy Eucharist, how this is central to the message of Our Lady of Fatima, and people, children, faithful. If we see so many ways in which so many, even in the Catholic hierarchy, are deviating from the truth about God, well, they're going to deviate from the truth about God when it comes to the Mass. And one of the reasons why they've also deviated is because that's what's occurred in the changes that have been made to the Mass. Remember this also about Tui. This spectacular Trinitarian theophany, the truth about God, where does it take place? It takes place in the sanctuary. Above the high altar, and the tabernacle. And in that tabernacle where it took place, our Lord was truly present. You could say that that vision is just kind of a more tangible manifestation of the mystery that's there. And in so many of our Catholic churches, they've taken the tabernacle out, separated from the altar. It is not insignificant that when we're getting this greatest light from heaven, the crowning of Fatima et Tui, the truth about God, the context in which this takes place. There's the high altar. There's the tabernacle. And Sister Lucia is at the communion rail. It is at the holy sacrifice of the Mass that we come to know the truth about God. In order to survive and overcome the crisis, attend Holy Mass, traditional Latin Mass, attend Holy Mass with ever greater devotion. And this means to always be learning more about the Mass, so that you can go with greater faith and devotion. So, your practical resolution, I'm going to study more about the traditional Latin Mass. There's a lot of talks that are out there. St. Vincent Ferrer Foundation's got a lot of different talks and missions on the mysteries of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, both in English and Spanish. And the third great means from TUI, which God has willed to communicate His mercy and grace, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Grace and Mother of Mercy. You have the words there, grace and mercy. She's the Mother of Grace. She's the Mother of Mercy. In the vision of TUI, the Immaculate Heart of Mary did not appear as it usually does, that is, pierced with a sword and with roses, but rather with a crown of thorns and with flames. It appeared exactly as the Sacred Heart of Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. This suggests that the hearts of Jesus and Mary are but one heart. This is the whole theology of St. John Hughes. And this is a profound truth about God that is being revealed at TUI. Our Blessed Mother isn't just something peripheral. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, from which flow all grace and mercy, same heart of our Blessed Mother. Their hearts are one. Again, this is the theology of St. John Hughes. If you're saying, Father, what are you talking about? There's another thing to put on your resolution. I'm going to study more about what St. John Hughes on the admirable hearts of Jesus and Mary. And so, they're suffering together the same sorrowful passion for our salvation. At the foot of the cross, Mary's Immaculate Heart is pierced by the same sorrows, the same pains, the same sufferings as those that overwhelm her beloved Son. Mary suffers in her heart that which Christ suffers on the cross. And those sufferings of our Lord on the cross are what merited for us all grace and all mercy. Our Blessed Mother is the Mother of Grace and the Mother of Mercy. Finally, just a few quick words about the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and also consecrating ourselves to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is also obviously very much a part of the vision of TUI. But don't fail to neglect the importance that while we have this great vision of TUI, what our Blessed Mother specifically comes to ask for, and not really our Blessed Mother, the words are God asks this. She says, God now is asking for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart. By whom? By the Holy Father, in union with all the bishops of the world. One of the great means of how God communicates His grace is through the Holy Father and through the hierarchy of the church. We have to, again, concretely, to survive and even thrive in this crisis, we have to grow in our prayer for the hierarchy, our prayer for the Pope, sacrifices that we offer for the Pope. Just a very quick point to make, I won't be able to develop it, but in the vision of TUI, basically then we have this great teaching about the truth of God and how grace and mercy flow from God. What should our response be to God's grace and mercy? Fatima and TUI teach us. They should be conversion, reparation, and consecration. Conversion, reparation, and consecration. That's the way that you respond to God's grace and mercy. So here we conclude with just a few words about consecration and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Because this is a very specific way also to be able to survive and thrive in the present terrible crisis. Grow in your devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Consecrate yourself to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We have a lot of different prayers and forms of consecration prayers that you can pray. Obviously, you also have the consecrations to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, St. Maximilian Kolbe, all those things that you can continue to learn more about. In her second apparition at Fatima on June the 13th, 1917, Our Lady said to Lucia, quote, "My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God," close quote. Remember these words because the goal is to be led to God, the truth about God, not a falsification of God. And where you have the guarantee of being led to God, truly to God, not to false ideas about God and false ecumenisms and false mercy. The road is our Mother's Immaculate Heart. St. John Damascene, Doctor of the Church, praises Mary and says, quote, "Thy pure and immaculate heart is always turned toward thy beloved and is applied only to contemplate him, to desire him, to seek him, and to aspire after him," close quote. Mary's immaculate heart is always, notice the words, always and totally turned toward God. Ad Deum. Ad Orientem, for those who know a little bit more about the traditional Latin Mass. Her Immaculate Heart is always turned ad Deum, ad Orientem, to contemplate Him, to desire Him, to seek Him, to aspire after Him, to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him. This is why her heart is immaculate, without stain, because it is a heart without any deviation from God. Not the tiniest deviation from God, from contemplating Him, from desiring Him, from seeking Him. Her most pure heart is perfectly ordered to God. And keep thinking the truth about God. It's perfectly ordered to God. It's set completely and totally on God and only on God. And two final little thoughts to remember about the Immaculate Heart of Mary and apply them, because you can apply these also. When you're consecrating yourselves to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, think of these two things also. Because the whole point of these two points, these last little points I'm going to make, is that those of us who truly want to consecrate ourselves well to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we have to do our best to be rock solid in worship, adoring God, the worship of the Church, the Mass, and doctrine, believing the truth about God. Because the Immaculate Heart of Mary offers perfect adoration to God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the Immaculate Heart of Mary believes perfectly in God. No deviations. Believes perfectly in God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The lex orandi, that means the law of prayer or the law of adoration. The lex orandi and lex credendi. Lex credendi, the law of belief. Again, worship and belief, adoration and belief. The lex orandi and the lex credendi of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is the answer to not only surviving the crisis, but thriving in the midst of today's horrific crisis. By consecrating ourselves to Mary's Immaculate Heart, we conform our prayer, the way we worship. We conform our prayer and belief to hers. And that's the worship of the Catholic Church, the traditional Latin Mass, and the teachings of the Catholic Church, Catholic doctrine. Let us pray. Hail, heart most holy. Hail, heart most humble. Hail, heart most pure. Hail, most loving heart of Jesus and Mary. We adore Thee, we praise Thee, we glorify Thee, we give Thee thanks. We love Thee with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength.
We offer Thee our heart. We give it to Thee. We consecrate it to Thee. We immolate it to Thee. Receive it and possess it wholly, purify it, enlighten it, sanctify it, that Thou mayest live and reign in it now, always, and forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all.
hope you have enjoyed this presentation brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved. We invite you to visit our website, www.fatima.org. Immaculate Heart of Mary, ora pro nobis.